His gentleness among us will join our hearts with praise. We gather in His goodness, a family of grace. With each breath He's given, praise the Lord. In these times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Worship the Lord to remember all of the joy yet to come. The hope that burns within us, the dark cannot destroy. With praise that's never ending, we say again, rejoice. With each breath He
there we are. I've been looking for some good Geddes music. I like the Geddes, and this is a new one we're going to do today, actually, called Rejoice. And sometimes I have Dave play a couple songs in the morning. Sometimes you don't even notice. That's how subtle it is. And then you're like, oh, I know this one. Yeah, because I played it 2 minutes ago for you. You didn't even know. But we love to be able to worship together this morning with you all and to pray together, to see what the Lord's doing, to go through the bulletin together. There's not a lot in the bulletin, but something that I have not been bringing up and I need to is August 31st. We have the annual Labor Day outdoor evening service and corn roast. This is a great time to see how much corn you can put away. Abraham, I think, holds the record at this point. I don't know if that's like a for the whole life of the church, but he can put away a substantial amount of corn. It's crazy. I think it's body weight is what he can do at this point in his life. So we'll see if anybody can beat that. August 31st, full body weight popcorn. It is a great time. You bring foods for other things, hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever. We'll have a little grill on the side. We'll have a couple little fires going. And if we get there super early, we normally have a big pile of stuff that we burn as well. It's just a great time to hang out, sing songs, share fellowship. It's great. Are there any other announcements that are not in the Bible or not in the bulletin? Because the rest of the announcements are from the Bible. Anything else that's not in the bulletin?
There's shoeboxes out there. People can start, you know,
yep.
There'll be more, but there's
Yep, so Samaritan's Purse does the Christmas shoe boxes every year, and the shoe boxes are out and ready to go. Get a head start on that. Mike? Wow. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Little boy? Awesome. Yeah, I love that. Any other announcements? All right, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for the week that you've given to us, and you've used it to make us more like you, whether it was easier or whether it was hard, whether we did something new or did the same thing. It's what you're using to make us more like you. Help us to rejoice and to be glad in the day that you've made today, tomorrow, and the day after that. Help us to have our foundation be in you, that we can rejoice just as much today in our healing as we can in our sickness, because our rejoicing is not in our sickness, but in you, that you have saved us, forgiven us, that this life is momentary and light affliction, but we have a hope that we can rejoice in every single day, a hope of glory, a hope of a place without pain or torment or suffering or sin, a place with peace and joy, a place with you especially. Help us to look forward to those things, to carry that with us throughout the week, that it would temper our anger, that it would help us to be quick to forgive, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. It would bring the gospel with us into our marriages. Help us to be grateful each day for what we have, grateful for the things that you've given to us that we don't deserve. We don't deserve to be dry. We don't deserve to be warm. We don't deserve to have children. We don't deserve to breathe. And yet you give it to us graciously by your goodwill and your mercy. And you cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Help us to be grateful for those things. Help us to not be complainers, but those who rejoice. Help us not to be afraid or to fear tomorrow, but instead to fear you and to trust you and to obey you. Help us to encourage one another with the truth. Help us to hear the truth without getting angry. Help us to hear your word, and that it would soothe our souls and motivate us to love you more and to encourage one another, to convict us, to change. Help us, Lord, to be pleased in you and take that pleasure with us everywhere, and that people would see what is the reason for this hope that you have, and even in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. Help that to be so powerful in our lives, to your glory, to your honor, and to your praise. In Christ's name, amen. Turn in your hymnal to 141. 141. Lift high the name of Jesus. Remember how his mercy Scripture reading for today is going to be from Numbers chapter 30. This is an interesting one. I actually had never remembered this from Scripture, but it has to do with vows. And Moses is talking to the heads of the tribes, and this is what he's telling them about vows specifically. It actually ties into a lot of New Testament teaching as well as Old Testament teaching, obviously. But as far as relationships between daughters and their fathers and wives and their husbands, as far as who is the head of that relationship, in an interesting way. So this is about responsibility of the husband, responsibility of the father, responsibility of the wife and daughter as well. And whenever you see during a wedding ceremony, the father come down, take the daughter and pass the daughter on to the husband, it's kind of an example of this section of scripture. I had never picked up on it or noticed it before, and it jumped out today as I was studying to preach today. Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the people of Israel, saying, "This is what the Lord has commanded. If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Short, simple, men, if you say you're going to do it, do it. If you make a promise to the Lord, do it. That's it. No caveat. It's too late. You already said it. Deal with it. Bear the weight of it. Be a man. If a woman vows a vow to the Lord and binds herself by a pledge while within her father's house in her youth, and her father hears of her vow and of her pledge by which she has bound herself, and if he says nothing to her, then all her vows shall stand. Every pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father opposes her on the day that he hears of it, no vow of hers, no pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will forgive her because her father has opposed her. So she needs to obey that. That's it. And it's free for her to go. She is forgiven of that vow, to keep that vow. Interesting. But now she's not under her father, then what? If she marries a husband while under her vows or any thoughtless utterance of her lips by which she has bound herself, and her husband hears of it and says nothing to her on the day that he hears, then her vows shall stand, and her pledges by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if on the day that her husband comes to hear of it, he opposes her, then he makes void her vow that was on her, and the thoughtless utterance of her lips by which she bound herself, and the Lord will forgive her. But any vow of a widow or of a divorced woman, anything by which she has bound herself, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound herself by a pledge with an oath, and her husband heard of it and said nothing to her and did not oppose her, then all her vows shall stand. And every pledge by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband makes them null and void on the day that he hears of them, then whatever proceeds out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning her pledge of herself shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord will forgive her. Any vow and any binding oath to afflict herself, her husband may establish, or her husband may make void. But if her husband says nothing to her from day to day, then he establishes all her vows or all her pledges that are upon her. He's established them because he said nothing to her on the day that he heard of them. But if he makes them null and void after he has heard of them, then he shall bear her iniquity. Also interesting. If he makes them all null and void, he bears the responsibility for those vows. He bears the responsibility for his wife's poor decisions. He bears the weight for his own, and he bears the weight for his wife's. If he says nothing, he bears them. If he makes them null and void, he bears them as well. These are the statutes that the Lord commands Moses about a man and his wife and about a father and his daughter while she is in her youth within her father's house. Very interesting. I had never seen that before. Just the weight of the father, the weight of the husband, and the weight of the woman, and the graciousness of God, how we reorient sin and who bears the burden of the relationship and the household and things like that is played out very clearly, it seems like, in Numbers chapter 30. So that will tie into our scripture today as we look at vows and oaths and letting your yes be yes and your no be no. If you'll turn to your hymnals, we'll look at hymn 97 and sing that together. We will glorify hymn 97.
Time of prayer and praise. If you have any prayer requests or praises you would like to share, we will lift them before the Lord now.
I'm grateful to everybody who's been praying for me and Anita. The Lord's been gracious. Looks like finally they've got Anita on the mend and are looking to figure out what they can do to get her home now. Okay. Got some things that have to be done so that happen, but at least it looks like she's leaking anything into her abdomen anymore, and things are healing up. So
good.
He's praying for her, and we're just grateful. Lord's been blessing us richly.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to gather together to worship you and praise you. We thank you for all the good things that you do for us in spite of our sinfulness, Lord. The blessings that you show us, the mercy that you've given. We praise you for the progress that we're seeing with Tom and Anita and both of their health issues, and that it appears that Anita is seeing a resolution where she can come home again, Lord. And it's been such a long, hard, difficult journey, but even in the midst of it, we thank you for all your goodness in the midst of hard times. And we pray for both of their continued healing and progress, Lord, and the encouragement that they can be to us even in the midst of difficulty. And we pray that you would continue to encourage them. We ask you bless us this week as we go to work and work at home and all the various obligations and duties that you've given us and times to rest and times to work. And we thank you for seasons in life and the opportunities and blessings that you give us. Help us to share those, the goodness that you've shown us with others, Lord, as we go about our days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're going to start with the new song, Rejoice, so the kids can come up. We'll do Rejoice, then Cornerstone, Dave, and then Here is Love. Let's stand together.
Rejoice. rejoice in the Lord now and always. Sing it again, we rejoice. Delight in the love he has shown us. Gratefully lift up your voice. His gentleness among us will join our hearts with praise. We gather in his goodness, a family of grace. With each breath he's given, praise the Lord. In these times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Throughout every season, I am sure we have every reason to praise the Lord. Rejoice in me, anxious for nothing, praying for all that you need. Come with a song of thanksgiving, lay your requests at his feet. His peace will fall upon us to guard our hearts and minds. In Christ who reigns eternal, shepherd of our lives, with a breath he's given, praise the Lord. In these times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Throughout every season, I am sure we have every reason to praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord now and always. Tell of the good he has done. Worship the Lord to remember all of the joy yet to come. The hope that burns within us, the darkness not destroyed. With praises never ending, we'll say again, rejoice. With each breath he's given, times we live in, we'll praise the Lord. Throughout every season, I am sure we have every reason to praise the Lord. We have every reason to praise the Lord.
I love that song. It's very convicting. I like to tell myself I have every reason to be grumpy, every reason to be angry, every reason to be short, every reason to be a whole list of things. But I don't often say I have every reason to praise the Lord right now, and that would be a much better way to live. Love that song.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less. Trust the sweetest rain. my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, we made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us His precious blood. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us His precious blood. Who His love will not remember? Who can cease to sing His praise? He can crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Grace and love, grace and love, like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice kiss the guilty world in love. Amen. You may be seated.
You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus continues the same way He has been. You've heard it said, and
I say this. Again, just a reminder, unless you are God himself, you don't get to take Holy Scripture and say, I know God said, but I say this. You do not get to do that. This, all throughout this, is Jesus claiming, I am God, I am God, I am God. I and the Father are one. I and the Spirit are one. The same Spirit, the same motivation that led to the writing of this scripture, I am just as profound. I am just as in charge. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And so I get to help you to better understand what God is saying. I'm going to expound on what you are missing, what your teachers have been twisting, the ways that you've been trying to find loopholes with your life and with your sin and with your marriages and all the other things. Today's message is about letting your yes be yes and your no be no. It's about truth telling. It's about something that all of us have done from the very youngest of age. I get to watch this play out kid after kid after kid in my house. And it's more profound the wider the difference is between the age group, because the oldest one gets smarter and the youngest one is just as dumb as the rest of the young ones. They're naive to whether they can trust their oldest sibling or not. And so when their oldest sibling says, this bag of ramen that you want is worth $5, the youngest one is like, okie dokie. There's lots of deals that are made in my house, lots of pledges, lots of vows in my house, and I, as the father, get to hear some of them I don't get to hear. But a lot of times what I like to do is let them pay the full price for their pledge and for their vow. Hey, you said you would play Monopoly. You're going to play that thing to the bitter end. There's no quitting. You're going to let your yes be yes, I'll play, and your no be no. You should have said no a long time ago, about 3 to 4 hours ago, before this Monopoly game started. I say no to Monopoly all the time. I stand by that conviction. Sometimes, though, I will say, listen, that price is too profound. Your older brother, your older sister, they have bamboozled you. You are like the Jacob and the Esau. You were very hungry, and you said, I have $5 in my wallet. You have ramen. Little did you know you could buy 12 packs of those for $5. Maybe not now because of inflation, but still, they're real cheap. Someone's being taken advantage of. All through our childhood, we have made vows, tried to get out of vows. We've crossed our fingers, crossed our legs, crossed our eyes. We have said, I swear on my mother's life, I'll stick a needle in my eye. We've done all the nursery rhymes, every single one of us. And we continue to do that to this day. You don't believe me? Well, I would like half the money up front, and then I will do the rest of this work. In some way, that's a pledge that you're making, to keep the truth, to show up on time. There's many things that you assign all the time saying, yes, I will do this thing. Right? You put your hand in the Bible. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Lots of times we make these vows. Our wedding vows, we have vows. Vows are not all bad. Vows, what they're doing is trying to tell somebody either who doesn't know me, listen, you don't know me, but I promise if you knew me, you would know that I keep my promises. I keep my vows. I swear on the life of my children, I will do this. They want some sort of collateral to know that you'll tell the truth. But the other reason why we use vows and oaths and all those things is because we're perpetually lying. And it requires us to step up our oaths because nobody believes us anymore. So you're like, I promise I'll be there. If I'm not, I'll give you a dollar. You don't show up because a dollar is no big deal. I promise I'll be there. I know I said I gave you that dollar last time. This time I swear I'll be there. $20. So you give them another chance. This happens with employees and employers all the time. I know I called them sick yesterday. I'll never do it again. Blah, blah, blah. All the time. But in your daily life with your husband, I promise to you I will never do that again. With your wife, I promise to you I will never do that again. And if I don't, then you can do this. And if I do, then you can do that. All these vows, pledges, I will, let's stack it up upon set. Before you know, you can't even keep track of them all. My kids probably have a running list of vows, pledges, and oaths that they've made to one another that nobody can keep. I can't keep track of them. So every now and then I got to take my kid out of a vow. I know they said this, but there's no way Sammy can whatever the list is. Sammy will not drive you to practice today because you let him use your bike yesterday. Like, he can't fulfill that. I'll drive you to practice today. We've all done that. And we've all found reasons why we need to get out of that vow. I made a pledge, I made a promise, I cannot keep it. Bankruptcy is kind of that thing, right? Asking somebody, hey, I cannot fulfill this pledge, I cannot fulfill this vow. Can I borrow money, right? This is happening all the time. This is happening all the time. Now it was happening all the time back in Jesus' day. It was happening all the time in Moses' day when he was telling the tribes of Israel how they ought to do vows. And it was happening with Adam and Eve from the very beginning. Because we've been lying from the very beginning. So we have to create all these vows and promises. We can't just let our yes be yes and no be no because nobody would believe us. I went through my class of students today and asked them individually, hey, this person right here, how would you rate them on their yes to yes and their no to no? 30% they keep their vow, 40% they keep, 50%, what is it? And I asked them at the end of that, would you feel more comfortable doing this in class if every time you kept your vow, you let your yes be yes and your no be no, and you were the trustworthy sitting in class and we got to you, you wouldn't be nervous at all. You would wait for that rating and go, I'm about to get 100% here, 100% acceptance rating. I'm going to get a like from everybody, a heart emoji right now in this class, 100% hearts all the way around, Rotten Tomatoes score of 100%. That feels good to let your yes be yes and your no be no. So Jesus knows people have been making vows from the beginning. They continue to make vows. And Jesus in Numbers said, hey, if you make a vow, if you vow to the Lord, keep it. Keep it 100%. If you make a dumb vow and your husband says, hey, this is a ridiculous vow, he can get you out of it. I'll forgive you for it. Your husband's going to bear the burden of the vow, but I'm going to let you out of that. Vows have been made there. Here's the vows. Now, this gets passed on and on and on, and rabbis and teachers and all these people are teaching you about vows. What do you do if you make a vow? So Jesus brings this up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. I've heard about what you've been doing with my vows. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you should perform to the Lord what you have sworn to do. You've heard that said. I've heard that said. Everybody's heard that said, the people who are listening. And the Gentiles, maybe who haven't heard that, they also know they need to keep a vow to their idol. All these vows came from different places in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, 11 through 12, especially verse 12, says, you should not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your Lord your God. I am the Lord. So you don't swear anything. Yes, by the Lord's name, I will do this, that, or the other thing. Stop it. Don't profane falsely. If you're going to do it, do it. If you're not, don't use my name. There's other places, Ecclesiastes. If you make a vow, do it now. Fulfill it now. Don't wait. Do it now. Stop procrastinating on fulfilling it. Do it now. Numbers 30, verse 2 that we read before. If a man vows a vow to the Lord, swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. All of you in your head know somebody or are the person that cannot keep a vow for whatever reason. They're just not trustworthy. And all of you know somebody else who you're like, that person, if I call them right now and they say they're going to be there, they will absolutely be there. It's the first one you're going to call. It's the first person you're going to text, the first person you're going to email, first neighbor's house you're going to run to. You know they will be there. Why? They're consistent. They let their yes be yes, their no be no. There's no deceit found on their lips. This is where you want to be as a Christian. This is where Christ wants people to be. This is where we are to be. Why? Because that's who Christ is. That's who God is. Could you imagine worshiping a God who did not let his yes be yes and his no be no? He's just, I am your loving father. He promises that. And then the next day, you're in hell. He's just completely arbitrary. He had a mood swing. He can't keep it. God's too busy now. He can't fulfill his promises. He forgot. That is no God to serve. He would have us to be like him, and he is flawless in his yeses and flawless in his noes. If he says he's not going to do a thing, he doesn't. And if he says that he will, he will. Flawless in that. And so this is who he's creating us to be. He's molding us to be. He's sanctifying us to be through his word, through your relationships here. I want to reiterate that again and again. We come to worship together, knowing full well that we're all sinners, knowing full well we're all in need of a Savior, otherwise why would we be here? Knowing full well that we need to hear from the Scripture, otherwise why listen to this Bible? But also remember that you need one another. You need the person that annoys you this morning and the person that you're best friends with this morning to make you who Christ would have you to be. Your children, your wife, your boss, your neighbor, your enemy, all necessary to make you like Christ. And your yes should be just as much yes to your enemy as it is to your closest friend. If you are going to say yes, it holds the same weight as the greatest blood oath that you've made. Just let it be yes and let it be no. God allowed men and women to make oaths or vows to the Lord, but they were bound by those. As you saw, your only way out to a certain extent was to have a father or a husband say, hey, this was without my consent. This was without me knowing. This is harmful. We need to get her out of this, but I will fulfill it. I will bear it. Some of the rabbis used to teach this, the same thing that you all know, a little trick of the trade the rabbis would teach. And this is how it goes. They used to teach, and this comes from the Mishnah Sanhedrin. There's quotes here that I'm going to read, but it'd be hard for you to find them. But it's simple to understand. They used to say, listen, if you swear by Jerusalem, that's not binding. So you're good. If you said, hey, I'm going to do that, I swear to you by Jerusalem, well, that's not binding. What is binding is if you say, I swear, and you aim towards Jerusalem, that vow is binding. Okay, this is in historical writings that the rabbis used to do. They used to also say, listen, if you swear by the temple, not binding. But if you swear by the temple's gold, then it's binding. They would also say, hey, if you swear by the altar of sacrifice, not binding. But if you swear on the sacrifice, it's binding. So they loved vows. They just did a lot of this. I know I said it, but my fingers were crossed. My legs were crossed. My eyes were crossed. My hairs were crossed. I still remember doing that in grade school, right? A girl with braided hair, she got away with anything. She got all the hairs crossed. It's a lot of possibilities there. But the tradition of crossing your fingers and looking for loopholes, and lawyers do this all the time. Your insurance company, read through that fine print, holy loopholes, to not have to pay what you thought they should have to pay. I swear we made an oath that if I give you $400 a month or whatever it is, that in the end you would pay for my house if it burns to the ground. And they're like, yes, but you didn't read in section 495, clause C, and that's how they get out of it. Cross it, cross it. You should have read it. I know you need a lawyer and you need a translator to understand any of this, but oh well. This is what was happening all the time. And it still happens to us when we're young, when we're old. Got to read the fine print, they always say. But what do? We press accept all. That's my favorite button. Are you going to make me read this or not? You're not? Okay, accept all. This is what Jesus says to them. I tell you, don't take an oath at all. Either by heaven, for it's God's throne, it's the throne of God, or by earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king, and do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. What he's saying is the oath is an unnecessary step. between your yes and doing what you say you're going to do. When you say, I'm going to take an oath by heaven, I swear to you, I'm going to do this thing. All you're saying is by God. God owns heaven. God also owns the earth. God also owns the temple. God also owns you. Not only that, but he controls all those things. Can you make one hair on your head black or white or brown? No. Can God? Absolutely. So what are you doing swearing by the hairs on your head? You can't even say tomorrow we're going to go to this place and do this and that thing, Scripture says. You don't even know what tomorrow holds. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we'll go here and there and do this and that. Simple. All of these things are doing the same thing. It's interesting, too, when you look at this teaching. Again, if you think of the people who are in this crowd listening to Jesus, you have the Jews, and he's quoting the Scripture and saying, hey, you're hearing it all wrong. You're misunderstanding. Let me show you what I mean. All I mean is tell the truth and do what you say. All these people who are worshiping idols, all these Gentiles, because there really weren't many atheists back then. It was you worshiped your idols or you worshiped Christ. Pretty much everybody worships something, or you worship Caesar, right? But there was something to worship for sure. So to hear that, so you telling me when I worship the temple, I'm worshiping God, and whenever I worship heaven, I'm worshiping God, and whenever I worship all these things, God owns them all. I thought it was the God of the water that owned the water. I thought it was the God of the sky that owned the sky. What Jesus is saying is God owns it all. There's no reason to point out each individual thing at all. Just skip all of that. Be an honest person. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Everything else is evil. James 5, verse 12 says this, but above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Again, you should be so trusted that you never have to say, I swear I will be there. We overcommit ourselves so much. Yeah, sure, I'll do that thing. And then I'm going to ghost you. I'm not going to text you back. I'm not going to call you. I'm going to hope that you forget. Right? Because we're so afraid of people and what they think of us. The oath is trying to make yourself look more trustworthy than you are. Build confidence in somebody else. When in reality, you're just making up for all the times that you lied and lost trust with other people. It would be great to not have to stamp on the side of something, guarantee. You just buy the thing and it works. The reason why we have to say we guarantee our product is because what we're saying is you can't trust anybody else. So we're going to stamp a guarantee on there. But the guarantee doesn't mean anything unless they can back it up. This is what Jesus is saying. You don't even need to stamp a guarantee. Just do it. Make a product so good. Be so trustworthy that nobody has a question. So that everybody in the church, if we went through this church membership, they would go, that guy, trustworthy. That woman, absolutely. If she says yes, it's going to be there. If she says she won't do it, she won't do it. If he says he will do it, he will do it. This is who we are to be because that is who God is. But God is so gracious to us in that when we make a vow that we cannot keep, he keeps the vow. What do I mean by that? The covenant or the vow or the promise that God made with Abraham, that God made with all the men of old, were vows kept by God himself. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is a necessary payment, a blood oath, basically, that you made with God and could not keep. And Christ kept it. He paid the penalty. He paid the fine. He was the sacrifice. He did the suffering. You said to God, I will not sin, and immediately sinned. And so Christ did not sin. He bore the weight of your sin of your lack of ability to tell the truth he bore on the cross. The weight of the oaths that you've made and broken, he bore those on the cross, just like the father, just like the husband, just all throughout Scripture. He was the one who bore the weight of that. What God says he will do, he will do. The passage that I was talking about in James 13 through 17 is the one that you've heard before. Come now, you who say, tomorrow we're going to go to here, we're going to go to there, spend a year there, trade, we're going to make some money. Yet you don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, your boasting is your arrogance. You boast in arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. How does this tie together? Because ultimately, as we're talking about, like, why make an oath and say, I swear on my head. You can't make your hair white and you can't make your hair black. Ultimately, you can become an extremely arrogant person who keeps their promises. Oh, I always do what I'm saying I'm going to do. Oh, I never cheat on my meal plan. When I say I'm not going to watch that thing, I don't watch that thing. When I say this or that or the other thing, you become extremely arrogant. If one of those kids in that room was sitting there this morning and they were the most honest person in the room, it says nothing about their humility. They tell the truth every time. That's just who I am. That's the worst kind of person. Now, you might always show up. But when somebody else doesn't, you're like, loser. You're the worst. The person who lets their yes be yes and their no be no, that you want to be friends with, says, I would like to be like Christ. Christ is always fulfilling his promises, and I want to be like him. And if we're both honest, I don't keep every promise. I don't let all my yeses be yes and my noes be noes, especially when people aren't looking. We get good at doing the public things, showing up to all those, but the private things, those are a little bit more wiggle room for us. But God, even in his hiddenness, keeps his word. All the time he keeps his word. In every instance, he keeps his word. So we should be humble and say, hey, yes, I will be there. Should hell or high water come, I will do my best to be there. But also at the same time, what we're saying in our head is Lord willing. Lord willing. Should he give me the strength, I will be there. Should he give me the energy, I will be there. Should a sanctification have worked so hard in my life that I will keep this promise, even if it costs me something? It's great to be a parent that your kids can call at any time, and your kids know they will be there for me. They will. It's great to be able to look back and go, he was always, she was always. That's great. That's profound. Why is it good? Why is it profound? Because that's who God is. There is no jail cell where he is not there. There is no joy that he is not involved in. There is no sadness that he is not a part of. He is sure to be there all the time, and we know that no matter what it costs him, he will fulfill his vow. How do we know? Because he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not come into the world, Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he doesn't want a bunch of arrogant people who do what they say they're going to do. He wants a bunch of people who say, by the grace of God, I will do that thing, no matter the cost, because that's who Christ is for me. By the grace of God, I will not do that thing, because that is who God is for me. And this is who we ought to be for each other in the church. And when you fail, repent. Obviously. Do not hold people up to a perfect standard. We want them to be perfect. But do you want that standard for you? No. So we say, hey, this is when I would like you to show up. If you don't, you say, I understand. You need Christ just as much as me. It takes all the arrogance, all the judgment out. It goes, hey, I already knew. How do I already know? Because I failed to keep my promises as well. But you know who doesn't? Jesus. Let's be more like him tomorrow. Repent. Seek forgiveness. Go again through the power of the gospel. God is still your father. Christ still the husband. Eternity still yours. And then again we go, and we let our yes be yes, we let our no be no. And when we fail, again, no surprise, we failed. There's no one who hasn't but Christ. Your only hope, your only joy, your only peace in your failure, your only peace when you cannot meet the oaths and the promises that you have made is Christ. There is no other hope but that. Your pride will not save you. Your arrogance will not save you. Doing it right the next 150 times will not ease your conscience. The only way is to know that Christ has paid it all. To him I owe everything. So again, Jesus is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he is our example, and is all in him. Do not swear by heaven, it's his. Or the earth, it's his. Or Jerusalem, it's his, he's the great king. Or yourself, you didn't make you. Instead, let your yes be yes, your no be no, and trust Christ with your soul. And offer the same mercy and grace to others that you want for yourself. Let's pray together. Lord God, we just thank you for your graciousness toward us, teaching us what it means to be like you. We thank you that you keep your word, you keep your vows. We thank you, Lord, that you sent the sacrifice of your Son to take our place. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't stop there, but you are a vital part of our daily walk and journey. That you are helping us right now to understand the sermon. You're opening up the scripture to us, and you're helping us to apply it. You're refreshing our minds as we grow weary and our hearts. Help us to encourage one another with the truth, to encourage one another to let our yes be yes and our no be no. Help us to be seen by the world as somebody who, when they say they're going to do it, they do it. If they say they'll stop, they'll stop. God, give us grace for one another and grace for ourselves. Remember that you are a good father who loves his children and is teaching them to be like him every single day. God, help us to love you as much in our peace and comfort as we do in our turmoil and troubles. Help us to rejoice in you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I think today we're going to end just singing that chorus that we sung this morning. We'll sing Rejoice in the Lord. Let's stand together and sing Rejoice. Among us will join our hearts with praise.
praying for all that you need. Come with a song of thanksgiving, lay your requests at His feet. His peace will fall upon us, guard our hearts and minds. In Christ who reigns eternal, Shepherd of our lives, with each breath He's given, praise the Lord. In these times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Throughout every season, I am sure we have every reason to praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord now and always. Tell of the good He has done. Worship the Lord to remember all of the joy yet to come. The hope that burns within us, the dark cannot destroy. With praise that's never ending, we say again, rejoice. With each breath He's given, times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Throughout every season, I am sure we have every reason to praise the Lord. We have every reason to praise. You are dismissed. Thanks, Salem.